It's Monday, September 11th, and you're listening to Galaxy. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me again this week on Galaxy. I am your host, Cthulhu. I'm so glad you're here with me again this week. So I just want to clear the air about something here real quick. Last week when I posted my very first episode of Galaxy, I got tons of awesome feedback and encouragement from lots of people, including a lot of my friends, and it meant so much to me. But a few people asked, you know, Cthulhu, what did you do to your voice on the podcast? And I just want to let you guys know that I didn't do any sort of editing or anything to my voice. I was just talking down here in a little bit of a lower register because I find it helps me talk slower. I do feel that I talk very fast when I'm talking up here in my regular register, but a lot of you guys didn't seem to like that. So I'm just going to talk normally and naturally, and I do apologize if I do speak too quickly. So now that that's out of the way, sorry that was kind of a weird start, but let's get started on this week's episode, which I am going to call Heroes and Monsters. We're going to jump right into it with probably one of the most popular anime at the moment, My Hero Academia. If you're not currently watching My Hero Academia, it is a shonen superhero manga and anime series by Kohei Hirokoshi. It started in July 2014, and the anime began April 3rd, 2016. So just over a year ago, we began My Hero Academia, the anime. And that I know originally aired on Funimation, as they are in charge of the English dub, but it recently came to Crunchyroll when the second season premiered back in April of this year. So we're actually on the topic of the second season. We're getting very close to the end of the second season, which is going to be a climactic battle if you've been following between Midoriya Izuku and Katsuki Bakugo versus their teacher, their hero, All Might. So this is going to be a really interesting climactic battle. I'm actually all caught up on the manga, so I know what's going to happen. I know the outcome, and I'm so excited for everybody to finally see this battle because it is just a fantastic battle for everybody involved, and it's actually kind of bothering me. Not bothering me, but really just the anticipation is killing me that this is going to be the final episode of this season. We've seen already, though, a lot of really great battles in this show. This week focused on the battle of Todoroki and Yasuyoru versus their homeroom teacher, Eraserhead. Now, I'm a really big Eraserhead fan. I think he's a great hero. I think he's a hilarious character. And it was really great to see him paired up with Todoroki and Yasuyoru because they were students who came to the academy on recommendation. So they didn't have to go through some of the trials and tribulations as the rest of our cast. They were into the school. It was no problem. And as we've seen through both seasons, especially back in the sports festival arc, we kind of seen Yasuyoru lose her confidence in herself as a hero. And we've seen kind of Todoroki blossom and become this very formidable type of young hero. A little bit of a chip on his shoulder, but he played a crucial role in the last arc with Stain the Hero Killer. And this was a really good opportunity for him to step back and to let someone else lead the way, and he did that super effectively, and Yasuyoru and Todoroki, amazing team up against Eraserhead. It was a really good episode, it was a really great battle. They adapted from the manga almost perfectly, I would say, and that's something that the anime has been really good at doing through these first two seasons, is that they've been really, really great about adapting the manga with 99.9% accuracy. There are a few things that have been moved around and a few things specifically added to the manga. For example, we had the Tsuyu special episode, basically, where the anime talked about everyone else's internships, but there was a heavy focus on Tsu-chan, of course. That was anime exclusive, and that was really fun to see because the manga doesn't really flesh those out. They're mentioned, but as a reader of the manga, it was really nice to see it fleshed out. It was really nice to see a little bit more expansion on some of the characters. and some of the other heroes in the My Hero Academia world. I don't want to talk too much about manga spoilers because I do have friends who are watching the anime who maybe not pick up the manga and hopefully hold out for a season 3, which I do truly hope we get. I think My Hero Academia is deserving of an anime for its entire run. From what I've read, there has not been a bad arc. There have been no characters that I don't wish exist, except I guess maybe Minata? He's not super great. But even future characters, even on the arc that is on the horizon, that is just past this practical exam arc that we are currently in, that we're going to finish season 2 with, there are so many great characters and villains that are going to be introduced. And I want everyone to be able to see them. And I really hope it does get, like I said, I really hope it does get that season 3 anime, because it is just so good. And there's just so much good character development, and the story really hits its stride, I feel, in this upcoming arc and what goes beyond it. And I think it'll be such a shame if they choose not to animate it. And I know other fans of the manga who have been following along, there are a lot of characters in there that they're really excited to see. Again, without any spoilers, there is a character we've already seen previewed in the end of the Hero Killer arc, who I think is going to be a huge pain in the ass, and I cannot wait to see the rest of this person's potential. Again, no spoilers, not going to reveal who it is, but I'm super excited to see what happens. And I'm excited to see where My Hero Academia goes as a whole. The story of My Hero Academia is of Midoriya becoming the greatest hero in the world. So basically becoming All Might's replacement. This is his journey on how he gets there. I'm super excited to be reading and watching along with it. And new episodes air every Saturday on Crunchyroll. And we get the manga on Thursdays. So definitely check those out if you're not already watching or reading My Hero Academia. It is probably my number one anime recommendation for this year. Hands down, no debate about it. So moving away from My Hero Academia, I want to talk about a cute little series of what I'm going to call vignettes of games that I picked up on Steam a little while ago, but only finally just got around to playing. So this is a series called Lieat, which is a portmanteau of the words lie and eat. And it is the story of the Lieating Dragon created in Wolf RPG Editor by Miwashiba. So there's three separate vignettes, the Lieating Dragon and the Vermilion Vampire, the Lieating Dragon and the Azure Dream Eater, and the Lieating Dragon and the Gold Thief. So in each game, you play a con artist whose name changes through each story, and a young girl named Afina, or Effie, who is a dragon whose egg suddenly appeared and hatched before the events of the series. So in each town that you visit in this game, you're there basically to kind of uncover some mysteries and help solve some problems. So Lieat is really interesting. It caught my eye because the preview graphics were absolutely stunning. They are a beautiful, almost not quite 16, not quite 32-bit kind of pixel-style graphic. Amazing music. And the character portraits are really what grabbed me. I loved the style of them. So they play as a kind of a JRPG with turn-based battle system. But the focus is really on solving the puzzles of what's happening in each town or location you visit. And discovering a little bit more about your main character and Afina and what her purpose is and how she appeared. So I picked this game up kind of on a whim because, again, I was really drawn in by the graphic, the art style of it. And I find that I'm often drawn to these kind of pixel arty type games. And it kind of just sat in my library for a little while until I had the time to play it. And I have to say, it was well worth the wait. They are very well done. I've only played the first 1.5, so Vermilion Vampire and halfway through Azure Dream Eater, just because I unfortunately had to get up and do other things and haven't had a chance to finish it. But what I have played so far was absolutely amazing. They're not long, like I said, I would call them vignettes. Each one is about 45 minutes to an hour if you play through correctly the first time. I actually ended up getting a bad end in Vermilion Vampire, which is very interesting, very easy to do, very fun little game. And I definitely recommend it. They're not insanely difficult. The stories are very cute. The characters are very well written. And it's not super expensive on Steam. And like I said, it's a vignette. You get three games that you get to play through with a interconnected story. And I highly recommend it. And finally, I'm going to touch on something that I talked a little bit about last week. One of my firsts. We're going to talk about Monster High really quick. For those of you guys who don't know what Monster High is a toy line under the brand name Mattel, launched way back in July of 2010, created by Garrett Sander, based on monster movies, sci-fi horror, action thrillers, that kind of thing. So, originally it was just a doll line, but it spawned a whole bunch of spin-off merchandise, video games, playsets, also has its own web series, TV specials, and direct-to-DVD movies, as well as a series of novels. Some of the more famous creatures within the Monster High universe are Draculaura, the daughter of Dracula, Frankenstein, the daughter of Frankenstein's monster, Cleo Denial, the daughter of the mummy, Laguna Blue, the daughter of the creature of the Black Lagoon, one of my personal favorites, Operetta, daughter of the Phantom of the Opera. You have Gulia Yelps, who is the zombie. You have another one of my personal favorites, actually my all-time favorite, Venus McFlytrap, who's the daughter of the plant monster. And you could just go on and on and on with how many different monsters and characters there are in this series. As I mentioned in last week's episode, my introductory to Monster High was I was just browsing through Toys R Us one day and happened upon the doll aisle where I saw my very first Operetta doll, who now sits proudly on my shelf, posed with her little guitar. And it was just this moment of real enjoyment of a doll. And they were also unique and original and just eye-catching that as an adult, I knew that this was something that I needed to collect. Now, I'm not super intense about my collecting with my Monster High dolls. I do try to stick to the characters I enjoy. So Venus, Operetta, the Werecats. I've just turned around to look at my collection so I can tell you who else I have. That about sums up, you know, the characters I collect. I do have a few of these special dolls as well. I have a New York Comic Con exclusive Webberella, Winota Spider, who is a spider monster and a superhero. I have the Lady Gaga Born This Way skeleton monster doll. She's very cool. Proceeds to that doll, I believe, went back to Lady Gaga's Born This Way Foundation. I have almost every Venus McFlytrap doll to date because I'm a little bit obsessive when it comes to Venus because she does remind me a lot of me. And it's just a very cool doll line to see that, you know, you can have dolls with shaved heads and short hair and green skin and pink skin and blue skin, and they're universal. And they're not just for kids. Adults love them too. I've watched most of the movies. I watched the web series. I really enjoyed the message of Monster High, which is to be unique, be yourself. And I feel that there are other doll lines that do, you know, promote be unique, be yourself, but they're all very generic looking. They're very generic dolls, very generic message. And I feel like Monster High just has done a better way of presenting kind of how it goes about this message. Now, I will admit Monster High did receive a reboot in this past year, and I have not really been into it as much, unfortunately, because they wanted Monster High to be a little bit more kid-friendly when it came at least to merchandising. They did change the face molds. I find the dolls now are almost a little bit too uncanny valley. They've made their eyes a little bit too big. They all have these really uncomfortable feeling smiles. It makes me really sad. I really enjoyed the original Monster High dolls. That's not to say that I am out completely. I absolutely 100% am still in with Monster High dolls, just a little bit more selectively now that a lot of the characters that I like as well have kind of been pushed to the background to make room for new characters and the main characters. So like I said, I don't collect every Monster High doll. There are characters I'm particularly fond of: Operetta, Venus McFlytrap, the Werecats. I love it because even with just those certain characters, you know, they each have their own style. Operetta, for example, as I said in episode one, she is kind of a rockabilly southern girl who plays guitar and is the daughter of the Phantom of the Opera. She has a lot of that rockabilly influence in a lot of her outfits and her hairdos and her accessories. Venus McFlytrap is the daughter of the plant monster, so she's a lot more earth conscious. Her theme is always, you know, very natural with lots of plants. The Werecats all have different personalities. There are three or four different ones. Catty Noir is our pop star Werecat, and she's fantastic. All of her outfits are very Lady Gaga-esque, which is amazing. And I love collecting these dolls because not only are they just unique and awesome, they have great clothes. They're fun to pose. I'm really glad I got into this series. I'm really glad I started collecting them because they are just so cute and so fun. And it just makes me really happy to look over and see them. And I will make sure that you guys get pictures of my two Monster High shelves. I probably won't post pictures of every single doll I own because you would be here forever looking at them. And you would probably lose interest around photo 3 or 4 of one doll. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is all I have for you today. I know, again, very quick, very short episode, but it is already quite late. I have kept you waiting long enough for this episode of Galaxy. My name is Cthulhu. Thank you again so much for joining me, and I will see you next time. Shine bright, my stars.